Throughout this past semester, it's been our privilege to focus upon the theme that we have selected for the year, that being our duty to serve. That banner that's above us will be a regular reminder. You have it as you see it in other locations. It's on your chapel journal. It's just a good reminder that that's our focus in a repeated fashion through the year. During the start of that theme, at the beginning of last semester, we talked about what really was involved with the concept of duty. And so we developed this little definition for duty. We indicated that duty is not drudgery, but divine design. The thought of duty often can have this idea of just something that's an obligation that you don't want to have to do. But in the biblical sense of the word, duty is not drudgery, but divine design. Would you say that with me? Duty is not drudgery, but divine design. What we meant by that was that we basically were designed to serve. God made us in a way that we were to serve. And so when we do anything else but serve, we really are out of sync with what God made us to be. And so that sense of duty to serve is not an imposition upon us. It really is the fulfillment of what God designed us to be. And so our duty to serve, the focus of this past semester as we begin. We had a variety of ways. It's been emphasized through the chapel services. But one of the ways that I sought to do it through last semester was to emphasize this little idea of the must herds that we had. And had the little theme that we had with that little packet. In fact, if you need another one of those little packets that you want to have to try and remind you to do that, I think I have one down here in my pocket somewhere that I carry with me. I try hard to make it not burst every day. I'd look funny with yellow down in my pocket, I think. But these little packets, if you have an occasion that you would still like to have one, you can stop by my assistant's office, and she has those of you that are new students. Just a little reminder in a little mustard packet, as you use mustard through the day, I must do what I hear. And we put on here, must herds for daily living. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily to the Lord. That's our duty as we think of it as servants. And so the themes that we particularly emphasized last semester, must be born again. The duty of the sinner must be lifted up. The duty of the Savior, as we talked about that. He must increase. I must decrease. The duty of the servant. We talked about worship. What does it mean to worship God biblically? We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We talked about the importance of our time management. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. I want to continue some of that focus with a very sort of simple but I think obvious thought, and that is the must of living. Now, please don't take it personally like I'm suggesting that you shouldn't be alive. But the truth is, there are lots of people who are alive physically who really are not alive. And I'm not talking about the difference between being saved and not saved. I think that there are lots of Christians who are alive who really are not alive. Oh, they're saved, but they move through life with such a sense of purposelessness and such a sense of carnality and such a sense of, you know, easy outlook on spiritual values. I want to talk about the importance of how we must live. You know, the real challenge of life is the routine. If I were to tell you that there was a special event, as my wife and I, and I'll be interspersing some things about our time in India through the message this morning, just as a means of trying to both share with you, as well as it's so eminently prominent in our thinking because of where we've been these last 10 days. But, you know, there were several special occasions that we were privileged to be sort of, greeted in. And the greeting in that part of India was such that they had this ritual of presentation of a beautiful, weighty arrangement of flowers that they would hang around your neck. And I'm saying weighty because it was heavy. It was just a gorgeous set of flowers. But then in the case of several of these occasions, we were in settings where there were some orphanage circumstances with children. One place, 800 orphans. Another place, about 670 or so. But anyway, they'd line these up, and then we would walk through this line of children who were just very methodically placed, and they had small handfuls of very tiny flower petals, and they would throw them at us as we walked through this line. Not throw them at us. I mean, they were trying to, you know, sprinkle them. We looked really quite interesting at the end of the long line of this. But they'd gone into special arrangements. They had, you know, those events are all true in our lives. We have occasions where we do special things, and we easily gear up for those. But I want to know, how do you handle a normal Tuesday, or a normal Friday, or a normal Saturday, ordinary life? Do you know that we're just accountable to God for the routine as we are the special? How do you handle life? How do I handle life? I'd like to take us to a portion of Scripture that gives us some opportunity to just observe that in a way that I hope will be helpful to you this morning, because truthfully, it gives us some very simple but I think practical instruction about how we should handle life. If you would please turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 gives us some very basic instruction about how we must handle the ordinary. Now, this is a passage we've been to for other reasons, but I'm going to look at it in a little different context, because the truth is, chapter 3 is famous. You know, John 3:16, I'm sure you know it, the story of, you know, this wonderful conversion. John chapter 4 and the woman at the well is a pretty famous one, but tucked in between those two extraordinarily known illustrations, we have this little segment of verses that I'm going to focus on with you this morning in John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. It's not really a passage that I think most persons would preach on. I've never preached on it before, but it rested my attention as I was thinking of the preparation for another one of these passages that have must in it. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. I'm going to really focus on just verse 4. It's an unusual place to put a passage. While we expositionally preach from this pulpit regularly, and I'm going to go through this passage in a way that is really exposing the thought of the verse, I can tell you it's a great verse that talks about how Jesus illustrates living. The must of living. Our duty to live. How do we do it? I want to give you four bits of advice about how to fulfill your duty of living. And I call them bits of advice because they're just little obvious things that, quite frankly, we take for granted. It's the ordinary. But yet it's the stuff that really makes the difference between whether we are effective or whether we are wasteful with this wonderful gift called life. I sometimes try to illustrate in my own mind, and I've done it in settings where some of you have heard me teach, that to approach each day with the sense that this day has never existed before, because it never has. Oh, there's been a Wednesday. There's been a January 13th. But there's never been a January 13, 2010, Wednesday. This is a brand new gift from God. And sometimes to help me see its importance, I think of it as a package, like a wrapped up Christmas present you just had over the break. And as you take the wrapper off of that package, you get the privilege of just discovering what that gift has included for you. Now, every day should be that kind of opportunity. It's a gift from God. What do we do with the gift of life? These four bits of advice from John chapter 4, verse 4, I hope will arrest your attention as it did mine in this occasion of this common little verse that seems like it's sort of just a transitional verse, but is rich with some important principles, bits of advice for us. Let's look at these four bits of advice together. The first is this. Are you ready? It's pretty obvious. Life must be lived. Now, that's pretty obvious. Life must be lived. You say, boy, that's insulting. I knew that. But wait a minute. Before you think you do, I have to confess I thought I did too. But I get that from this first part of verse 4 with this, where it says Jesus must needs, or simply put, he had to. Now, this little exercise of had to in this case is something that is probably, you know, usually emphasized in a way that focuses on the map of that region. So I just like to have you just have a quick review with me. You see that region of the world, and Jesus would have been down in Judea, Jerusalem area. The Pharisees had gotten a little bit intense in their antagonism to his ministry. That's what the first verse says in chapter 4. He knew that he couldn't stay around there. The time of his ministry hadn't come to the point of the crescendoing of that kind of antagonism. And so he's going to find himself then returning back to the north of Galilee, where he was originally from, where he'd raised as a boy. And to do that, you have this inner portion called Samaria. Samaria was a region that was occupied by a mixture of a Jewish race, traceable back to the time of the captivity of the northern empire of Israel, as it had been taken into captivity in 722 BC. And as that captivity, the Assyrian captivity, is sort of tied to the idea of how you would come in and you would relocate the citizens of a region to then sort of restrict or prevent a revolution after you'd conquered them. If you could take all the people and put them someplace else, so they're sort of scattered around, there wasn't enough strength or impetus to overthrow a conquering nation. And that was Assyria's method of conquering people. So when they conquered Israel, the northern 10 tribes, 722, they proceeded to take out Jews from the region which was Samaria. You know, Samaria was the region of the northern kingdom. The city of Samaria, there's both a region and a city. So the city of Samaria was the capital. And so as these Jews were taken out, the vacuum of that area was then repopulated by those that the Assyrians would bring into the region. The Jews that had been left then in Samaria, because all of them weren't taken, proceeded to then have these mixed race relationships with the Gentiles that had been brought by the Assyrians. And so the Samaritans were these mixed Jewish folk. And there was an antagonism between the Jews who were not from that region, and so consequently they avoided it. In fact, you know, from the later portion of this chapter where we talked about the worship that we must have, the Samaritans even had a different worship location and a different worship system, still tied much to the heritage of the Jews, but because of this difference of their nationality mixture now. And so when Jesus is described here as having to go through Samaria, frankly, I think there's been some wrong preaching. I think I've done some wrong preaching on this passage. I think that I sort of saw this as maybe the one time in all the trips, because Jesus made many trips between Jerusalem and Nazareth. This wasn't the only time that he trafficked back and forth geographically. And I think I sort of said, well, the rest of the time he went, as the Jews often did, they'd cross over and they'd go up along the other side of the Jordan River, Perea, and then they'd come back into, they didn't want to go through that Samaritan region. You know, we have no record that Jesus did that regularly. We know he had ministry in Perea, but I have to believe that there were other times that Jesus went through Samaria other than this. But this particular time was identified as something that is going to have a unique message, and we know that follows in chapter 4. My point is this. The ordinary activity of Jesus walking from Jerusalem back to Galilee took him through the countryside of Samaria. Can I tell you that life is all about the ordinary? What are you going to do as you go to class, students? What are you going to do, faculty, as you teach what you've taught for years? What are you going to do, staff person, when you go about what is your routine task? You come to the same desk. You go to the same activity. How do we handle the routine of life? Doing your laundry, you know, going to your job. How do you handle the detail of the routine? Do you have a sense that even in the routine, you must do it? See, I think that there are lots of folk who go through life and they just exist. They don't live. Our verse for the meditation was John 10:10. Jesus' own words, "I'm come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly." I believe this bit of advice, our duty is to live, not exist. We must live and not exist. And so life is not a constant rush in our world of thrill-seeking society. Can I tell you, we're always looking for the rush. Can I tell you, the majority of life is routine. What you do with the routine ultimately will define what you do with life. So I ask again, are you living? Or are you just existing? I hope that you'll look at every day, not as Monday, I go to these classes. Tuesday, I do this job. No, look at every day as a fresh gift from God. Life must be lived, not just exist. Jesus said, I must go. It was part of the routine. To get to Galilee, I must go through Samaria. It's a routine. Nothing exciting, no rush. But can I tell you, while this isn't our purpose this morning, the place of that routine gave him the opportunity of one of the most dynamic accounts of Jesus' earthly ministry, the woman at the well. Here's the application. When you go through the routine, be on the alert for the rush. The exciting moment, the opportunity. When you do a job at the mall, when you do your Christian service, when you fill out the forms to say you went to church, wow, that seems like such routine. Can I tell you, guess what? Maybe the routine of filling out that assignment that you attended church as you're supposed to do and indicating that in your weekly routine is going to be a reminder of a blessing that you had as you were at that church serving God. Life must be lived. Are you living? Are you existing? Jesus said, I must needs. Life must be lived. Second bit of advice. We see it as it comes along in the next part of this. He must needs go. And I'm going to stop right there. Here's the second bit of advice. Life must be advancing. Life must be advancing. Do you know that one of the greatest places to be stagnant spiritually is here? You know why? Because you're constantly confronted with spiritual activity that can easily cause you to think you're spiritual. Chapel, classes, assignments, prayer, Bibles are comfortably carried. And we can go through all of the spiritual atmosphere of a place like a Bible college. And it's not just students. We as staff members can go through all the motions of having spiritual activity, and yet we are spiritually careless and calloused. And so, I ask you, are you growing or are you stagnating? You've heard it said, and it's true, you're either going or you're declining. You're not ever standing still. There might be that second of shift from growing to declining, but you know, one of my greatest agonies is to see students that come in, and you that have joined us this second semester, as you come with a spiritual fervor and excitement about being able to come and study God's Word, and then over the course of the semester, it diminishes, and the fervor is lost. Why? Because you haven't handled life in the routine. Life must be constantly advancing. Jesus had to go. He had to move beyond. This is not intended to be an over sort of application of this passage, but you know, in lots of ways, at this stage of life for your students, I'd like to see sort of Judea as the place you've come from, your home, you know, earlier years of schooling, high school, whatever, your background, and then you've got to go through Samaria to get to your destination of Galilee, which is the Lord's leading of whatever capacity of ministry He has for you in the future. And so the question is, are you progressing? Are you growing in the Lord? I found myself pondering, am I truly further spiritually than I used to be? Can you say that of yourself? Are there increments of growth that evidence the fact that you are spiritually further today than you were before you left for the break? Will you be further at the end of this semester in your intimacy of relationship to God, or will you be declining? A bit of advice is, life must be advancing. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, don't waste time. Be busy serving God. Some of you say, well, I don't know for sure what God has for me. Can I tell you the best way to find out is busy serve Him where you are, and He will lead you to where you need to go. It's as simple as that. As you're busy serving God, ways as you can now, whether it's faithful to your church, even beyond your Christian service assignment, involved in campus activities, diligently involved with your devotional life, as you build your life spiritually, I promise you, God will lead you to where He wants to take you. And so, life must be advancing. Go is what Jesus did. Let's move further to the third bit of advice, and that is this. If life must be lived and life must be advancing, may I say life must be completed. Number three bit of advice. The word through. I suppose I've spent as long pondering the word through in these last weeks of preparing for this message as I've ever done in my life. You know, the little words are the ones that are often rich with implication that we just sort of rush over because they don't have much exegetical, grammatical analysis that we can do in our, you know, study of the original language. Through. Dia. Big deal. You know. But you know what? It is rich with teaching. Through. Do you know when something is described as an occasion where you went through it, it's a journey that describes, first off, some endurance. Think a little chorus. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon the Lord. You see, the word through means that you have endured through a process of whatever activity you're describing. Through also describes something that indicates progress, as we've talked about going. So it's not just endurance, but also is going to be that sense of, you know, moving ahead. You go through it. If you go through the intersection, guess what? You were on this side, you got over there. You go through a room, you go through a tunnel. There's progress involved with the word through. And so there's a sense of completion. There's a sense of being involved. You know, when you go through something, I promise you, you're involved. I was going to use the word engaged, but I thought that that might cause some of you to think I was implying something that I wasn't. You'll get it later. That's okay. Now, the truth is, when you go through something, it means you are a participant. Have you gone through a difficult thing? I think of that stanza. Fectus, would you do me a favor? Take your hymn books out again and turn to 408. I love this stanza of this hymn that uses this concept of through. To just amplify it, let's see if we can sing it. Ready? When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Can I just tell you that the challenge that many of you face is finishing what you start? Jesus went through Samaria. He finished. I'm not here to try and rebuke those who may not complete a course of study, but I can tell you this, that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. Aren't you glad that when He hung on Calvary, He could say, "It is finished"? Can I dare you that that the routine of life is often going to be interrupted because you don't practice the little word through. Yes, it's tough. Sometimes it is through fiery trials. Some through the fire, some through, all through the blood. Through it all. Through it all. Have you truly said, I am going to practice the routine of completing life like God has ordered? Jesus finished what he started. Learn to finish what you're doing. I give us a final bit of advice. If it's the advice to life must be lived, to the advice that life must be advancing, to the advice that life must be completed, this last one is life must be challenging. You know, we live in a world that looks for the easiest way to do things. We avoid hard, diligent tasks. We don't like the rigors of things that make us have to struggle. Having come from a setting of a country that is impoverished in so many ways, in ways that we don't have the privilege of really seeing firsthand, I found myself just over and over again struck with the arduous life of these folk in that part of the world that don't have lots of the conveniences. And yet such enduring determination in the midst of that. Life is challenging, and it must be challenging. May I ask you, are you taking the easiest route of life? Or are you making yourself grow spiritually and develop in your character? You see, Samaria wasn't exactly the most pleasant place. As we've mentioned, Jews often and most usually went around Samaria. Jesus went through it. He chose the tough route, the challenging route. And we have that wonderful episode is recorded for us of that encounter with the woman at the well. Will you choose the easiest path of life? Will you take the challenging path of life? When you face the challenges of your studies this semester, will you find yourself looking for the easiest class and the least amount of work and turning in the least amount that you can? Will you try and just get by? Or will you determine by the grace of God, I'm going to have a Samaria experience. I'm going to accept the challenge. I must live routine and face challenge. These bits of advice are amplified with that passage of Job 23:10, where Job said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I have yet to find a person who has, I think, done excessive service for the Lord who hasn't found themselves going through the anvil of adversity to do it. I think we find ourselves as God's children placed in those stretching circumstances in order that He can make us more than we'd be. And so I challenge us to face life with a challenge. Bits of advice from a very simple verse of Scripture. He must needs. Life must be lived. He had to. He must needs go. Life must be advancing. He must go through. Life must be completed. I'm going to get through this. He must go through Samaria. Life must be challenging. Not the easy route. The challenging route. And so I ask you this question. Are you living or are you existing? Today is probably not the day to really feel that way. But in about 3 weeks, when you've got the routine of some sort of a schedule in your classes, your studies, and your work, will every day just be existing? Or will you exercise the duty of living? Are you living or are you existing? I remind you again, John 10:10. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I pray that today you will help us as we go about the routine of life to not ever take it for granted, not ever just approach it with a sense of boredom, but may we approach every day of our lives with an awareness that we have the privilege of the gift of life. And may we, with great diligence and commitment, pledge ourselves to exercise the duty of living. Thank you for this simple verse describing our Lord through the context of duty. He must needs go through Samaria. May we give ourselves to life rather than existence. May we give ourselves to progress rather than stagnancy. May we give ourselves to completion rather than failing to complete. May we give ourselves to accepting challenge and accepting that which is more difficult in order that we might be all that we can be for you. Lord, I pray that every one of us today might ask this question regularly: am I living or just existing? Help us to that end, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.